Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Fede Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to your favourite wrestling podcast, Wrestling Daft. My name is Rab Florence, and as ever beside me, it is...
How you doing, mate? It's Gredo. You sent it.
It's Gredo himself. Gredo, how's your week been?
Aye, mate. Really, really good.
Any news?
No, no yet.
No yet?
Have I got any news? Right, have I got any news for you? I was on that Jim Cornette podcast again.
Right, tell me what happened there. Did Jim Cornette redo it this email?
Aye, mate, I'm affronted.
Right, tell me.
I'm affronted. Because see, if that was somebody else, I'd be like in the group chats with the other wrestlers going, check your staff, they're sending an email with Jim Cornette, man. I've done this. I do pantomimes. I do radio.
Did Jim Cornette redo the word pantomime?
He did, actually. I think he knew what it meant. He basically says it's good to. I don't know if you've got audio. I don't want to hear it back anyway.
I can get. I've
nah.
Don't want to hear it.
You don't want to hear it, man.
He basically Jim Cornette's voice on this show.
It's because he was going like that. It really got to me last week when he was giving it. You know, these things don't last. These Aye. Gimmicks and all that. And I'm just going, hi, Jim. As an avid listener of your podcasts, I was driving along listening on the road to my radio station. Can't even give it all that. As well as bumping into you in the UK, I was also waiting TNA and told a wee story or two and all that. But by the way, he did put me over. It was nice words. He was going, I like this guy. And Jim Cornette never ever does that. But it's just the fact that he was reading it. He's going, and I'm going, I have been in two sitcoms. I have hosted a game show and I do pantomime. Yeah, rah, 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 rah. And I'm going, oh, no, man. And then he's giving it. Well, see, this is a happy ending. This is a happy ending because that guy's an entertainer and that's where he should be. And, you know, I'll never watch any wrestling matches, but that's where he should be rather than wrestling in front of folk, kids, something like that. And I'm kind of going, yeah, that wasn't the desired kind of. He was like, this is the go home. He was like, this is a happy ending. He doesn't wrestle anymore.
That was a bad ending, wasn't it?
It was. He was going, no, it has a good ending. He doesn't wrestle anymore. Not once did I say I've stopped wrestling, but anyway.
Well, for me, I've got no news really. I'm just prepping for filming my sitcom that's coming a week on Monday. We get started on that.
Can I ask you a question? How many? Because I got asked about my sitcom and they were asking about the COVID vaccine and stuff like that. And I don't know. Can you get it quicker or is there a way to get about it? You've had your first, didn't you?
I've had my first, aye. But we're just getting tested. We're getting tested today. Next Friday we go in, get tested, and then we get tested something like 3 times a week. And then we're not supposed to go and mix with anybody or anything like that. We've got to keep it locked down. Keep in our bubble, and hopefully everything will be all right. I will be working, of course, quite a lot over the next wee while doing that sitcom with Jack Jester.
Yep.
He'll be working away on that as well. He's been getting the tan topped up. I've been seeing him on the sunbeds, getting the tan topped up, getting ready for filming.
Jester's funny, man.
Jester's goat today, there's a scene in it, not to spoil it for anybody, there's a scene in it where Jester's character, he's a character called Darren in it, and he has to do one-arm push-ups in it. We're talking about watching Rocky and how nae normal people can do one-arm push-ups, and he goes, I can do them, and he gets done, and he does one-arm push-ups, right? But Jack Jester told us at the read-through, he can't do one-arm push-ups. So I think he's been practicing, so it's going to be interesting to see when we get there on set, when all the cameras are rolling, if Jester can do the one-arm push-ups.
See, I thought you were going to turn around and say, he's went, aye, man, they bore, I can do they bore. And then he's maybe contacted you later going, I can't do this.
No, I mean, I warned him about a year ago. I messaged him about a year ago and went, by the way, we're writing you in here doing one-arm push-ups, so you better get training. So I'm thinking he's maybe done that thing where he's like, I'll start it next month, man, I'll start doing it. You know, I mean, I'll do it a month before, I'll start doing it. Then realising it's actually only fucking Rocky and Apollo Creed that can do these.
It's, it's like fucking, sure, it's like that, that time I got asked to do that Burns poem, and it's about 3 years long, and I was like, I'll date, start it next week, start it next week, start it next week. And the next minute, I'm freaking, I've got a week to go, and I'm asking folk how long it took them, and they're giving it, oh, it's took me about two and a half years to learn it.
Wait a minute, did you have to date from memory?
Well, I don't really want to give this away, but, oh, mate, I ended up buying, what did I buy? I bought a, what did I buy again, John?
A teleprompter.
Did you buy a teleprompter?
What?
You bought a an auto-cue teleprompter?
Auto-cue, aye, aye. Because, you, mate, it literally, it's on YouTube, it's like 30 minutes long. Mate, it's just, it was, again, it was one of the ones like, oh, I'll read a wee bit and then I'll date next week and then the next minute it's around the corner. But I think I done, I think it was still all right. But I say, in the end, I never used the teleprompter.
Aye, it's just knowing it's there is a good thing, you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean? It's a blankie.
And yeah, just knowing it's there is just a confidence thing.
But Rab, do you know what? This is good. I'm loving hearing that stuff's finally starting to open back up. You've got the vaccine, your sitcom's taking off, you've got this wee event coming up as well, which I retweeted yesterday.
Thanks for that retweet, mate.
Hey, anytime, bro.
Thanks for the retweet. I'll retweet your stuff as well, right?
Aye, right, mate.
Except for the radio stuff. I don't want
to you're gonna say that.
I don't want to give that guy any clicks. What's his name again?
Foxy
Fieldy or something, Foxy. Is it Foxy? Foxy?
No, Crofty.
Crofty. No getting Crofty. I'm not getting Crofty any clicks. So I need to... Me and Crofty, I think, I just... There's just a bad vibe between us. Do you know what
really?
I mean? Do you feel that?
Well, I think we get you on my breakfast show. We bring it up. I'm sure that's good.
On your radio show? Your radio station?
On my radio station. My radio station.
Right, let's see what the punters have been saying, because no doubt they'll have been up to stuff. In reference to last week's interview, right, Martin has raised the point that Grado, in this interview, he was talking to Kikitaro, the Japanese wrestler, and Grado sounded like a Scottish person talking to a waiter on holiday when he was talking to him. He says,
I read that and I totally agree with him.
I had a wee listening to it, Grado myself.
What did you
Is that how you talk when you're abroad, like, to people? You give a wee bit of the shouting and the...
I can't remember what was the things I was saying. I can't remember. And then you didn't make it to WrestleMania then, Kikitaro. Wasn't it? And then, obviously, everyone loves you, Kikitaro. I can vouch for that. It was like, oh, that kind of part, wasn't it?
I think it's fine. You're just making yourself understood.
Exactly. Somebody was on Twitter burying me going, check Grado's Glasgow uni accent. Man, he's forgot his roots.
Chris has also referred to last week's show. He says he loved the story of Grado selling his pants for £130. No, he wants to clarify, though. Chris wants to know if this was before your well-storied anal issues. He's also interested to hear if you think your current pants having a bit of popped hemorrhoid, a walnut gusset, and the stench of chips, cheese and Donner farts would increase or decrease the price people are willing to pay.
Well, first of all, I would say that I first started getting piles in 2011. In fact, no, 2009. I tell a lie. 2009, I felt like I had piles in Malia. That was the first time. But this was in 2012. And that was, I didn't get diagnosed with other bowel issues until 2014, self-diagnosed. So... In terms of the question about would it increase me in money if, you know, because my fucking dungy is absolutely, well, it's seen better days, isn't it, my dungy? I reckon it depends by the individual, because there'll be some people out there that would pay extra for that.
I've got a proposal for you. Why don't we stick a pair of your pants on eBay in an open auction and just see how much they would get?
Well, I mean, I've got plenty of breeks here, and they're all worn out, and we can get a bash. What do you think?
We should do that.
We should have
a Wrestling Daft eBay account anyway, and we should stick them up on eBay, your pants, for somebody to buy. You could even just give the money to charity as well.
That's a good idea.
I like your thought of somebody out there being like, oh, you know, I got my heart operation, and it's thanks to Grado selling his scans to a guy. You know, but I just think it would be a nice thing. I think it would be a good thing to do.
Right, we'll get that sorted, mate.
You can do that.
Can you do that? Can the boys at the Wrestling Daft Towels sort that?
Sort that out.
boys at Wrestling Daft Towels are going to sort that out. That's John. So Stevie is looking to pop Rab. That's me. He says, my big mate Ewan, Viscera. We must call him Viscera.
Viscera?
Obviously a big skinny guy. He says, my big mate Ewan and me were at the Orlando Arena watching wrestling superstars Mr. Perfect versus Ric Flair. Perfect lost him, was turning heel. He was walking down the aisle right beside me, he says. So Stevie shouted, fuck off, and boo, and he turned around and stared right at me for what felt like hours. He then gobbed right on me, and his spit was rolling right down his face. So Mr. Perfect spat right on Stevie's dish. Honestly, that is just a dream for me.
That's a great story.
There'll be no greater honour than for me than Mr. Perfect's grogger dripping down my face. I would love that. After AEW's Hikaru Shida ate two baby bells without realising he had to take the red wax off it, right? Tales of the Giant Stone Eater has suggested this as a potential new eating challenge for Grado. So Tales of the Giant Stone Eater wants you to eat a baby bell without taking the wax off. You're not going to do that. He's not doing that.
Who's the Giant Stone Eater?
This is just a name of a listener. Tales of the Giant Stone Eater. I mean, it's
I'm
great.
I'm going to see if he's the giant. The tail of the giant. Does he want me to eat a baby bell?
He wants you to eat a baby bell with a wax still on.
Nah.
What does he think this is? Does he think this is fucking Jackass?
Listen, see, to be honest with you, it doesn't surprise me that people message stuff like this in for me. It's like, if you look at the work that I've done in the last couple of, I don't know if I should. Basically, First Bus I done an advert for First Bus, and it was like, you know, if Grado can drive a bus, Andy can drive a bus.
Aye.
The council wanted me to do a, who can we get to pick up rubbish? Who can we get to spread the word to keep Glasgow green? And Grado, pick up your lard, pick up your rubbish. So these requests, Disney's, oh, Grado, eat a fucking baby bell.
Aye. Grado's gone, can you eat a baby bell? Grado can eat 10 baby bells. Aye. I see it.
So, do you get where I'm coming from, John?
I see what's happening here.
What you're saying is you're going to have to start, you're going to have to start saying naughty male stuff. You know what I mean? So let's start anew. Let's start anew by you saying naughty in this fucking baby bell.
Nah, I'll pass on that, mate. Giant Stone Eater.
Why does nobody ask John to eat a baby bell with wax on it?
I'll do it. I'll do
John,
it.
No, we're not letting you do it. We're no performing monkeys here. No, after John last week tried to make the claim that a violin bow was made out of cat hair, Andrew sent us a wee picture of a bunch of Sphinx cats and says, it turns out Nicola Benedetti has been busy this week getting a new bow made for a violin. I'm going to move off that on a tangent by saying Jack Jester, who I spoke about earlier, has got a cat with no hair. It's got a Sphinx cat, I'm pretty sure. Is it a Sphinx?
It's something like that. And it's, aye. I mean, he thinks it's gorgeous, but oof.
Oh, I think it's a beautiful thing as well.
Do you? No, John, you and me, mate, they freak me out.
I'm with you. An animal with no hair, that's just weird, isn't it?
I'd like to feel its nice, weird skin. I would like
I bet you it's a lovely cat, but it doesn't. It gives me the heebie-jeebies, if I'm being honest. Sir.
No, I don't like it. I wonder if Jester's like that as well, or hairless under his clays, if he's all completely smooth. I'll find out in a couple of weeks. Now, John O'Hare says, guys, I need to know, what the fuck is Charlotte Flair playing at? Have you seen her on Twitter lately? She's looking to get fired, man. She needs to wise up and start thinking herself. And can I get a wee shout-out, by the way? John O'Hare, here's a shout-out. John O'Hare.
Right, John.
All right, John, how you doing? All right, John.
What's happening, John?
John, steaming again, John, aye.
What are
you
up to?
What are you up to, John? You working yet, John? All that stuff. Right, now, you still a virgin, John, aye? Still a virgin, John, aye? Aye, so, are you out of jail, John? You're John here out of jail now? Yeah, you keep your nose clean now, John? John, what are you doing? You went to the toilet about 10 times here, John. What are you doing? What's that in your nose? You're a bit of white around your nose there, John. So that's John O'Hare. Listen, I don't know what he's talking about with the Charlotte Flair thing.
No, I mean, she posted a lovely picture the other day, but I didn't think anything of it. What's she been doing, John? You usually own the button with all that kind of...
Listen, we don't follow Charlotte Flair on Twitter.
Man.
Well, here's a wee... Let me clue you into something about celebrities, like me and Grado, right? we don't follow other celebrities, right? We don't really do that. If you see me and Grado following another celebrity, it's going to be somebody less famous than us. That's the only way we would do it. So, like, Grado follows Stephen Purden.
Mm-hmm.
On Stephen Purden is significantly less famous than Grado.
Yeah.
So that's why he feels comfortable doing that. You know what I mean?
You're bang on the money, mate.
Now, before we get into Grado singing,
oh, for
which, fucks. Remember what I said about saying no, Grado.
Right.
Luke Gleason get in touch and says, I don't know if you guys have heard Hulk Hogan with Green Jelly and the song Hulkamaniac, but here it is. It's rotten. Let's hear it.
I read it in the papers. I saw it on TV. I guess it'll be one empty seat when I wrestle at Wembley. I used to tear my shirt, but now you tore my heart.
I remember this and I love it.
I knew you were a Hulkamaniac right from the very start.
Right from the start, you were my friend.
It's about a Hulk Hogan fan that died.
This is not the end.
When the Hulkster comes to heaven.
When Hulkster gets to heaven,
we'll tag up again.
Hulkster. Nice, isn't it?
Hulkster's not going to heaven, that's for sure.
The world is lost. Why, no?
You've seen it.
Forgiven, though, if he repents before, you need to read up on your religion, mate.
That's true. Shawn Michaels.
Like, let me explain. Yeah. This is why Jesus died for our sins, right? It's why we get repentance and we get forgiveness. James Patrick Duffy says... He knows it isn't a wrestling tune, but is there any chance of Grado singing No Mean City by Maggie Bell, the theme for Taggart?
I don't know that.
You must know that.
No, I don't.
Well, no.
I thought it was an instrumental.
Right, John, on you go.
Well, I know the city like a lover. I don't know the rest of the words, but that's how it starts, isn't it? But there's no time. No, I need to get the lyrics up.
James Patrick Duffy, why don't you just contact the presenters at Taggart Daft and ask them to sing that? Because this is a wrestling show. This is a wrestling show, so please, people, stop disrespecting us. Me and Grado have some of the best wrestling knowledge in this country, and it's frankly demeaning asking us to sing the theme for Taggart. Do you want me to sing the theme for the fucking Casualty? Do you want me to do that?
That's an instrumental show, is it not?
That's an instrumental.
That is an instrumental, sorry.
By the way, I listened to Jim Johnson on a podcast, right? You know how I'm daft for all that.
Aye.
I mean, I'm halfway through, but it's a bit disappointing, right? Because I feel bad saying this. Not what he's got here. But it was like, the interview was going, can you remember the first wrestling song you made for someone? He's going, nah. You know what I mean? He's just looking like that. You know, what was the best song you ever made? I don't know. The Rugged.
And if you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling-related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com.
Woo!
Do you know how things are starting to open back up again? The pub's not opening up.
Aye.
I want to, you see, when I walk into the pub, aye, I want to walk in there with some merch on. You know what I mean? I want people to look at me and go, no, that guy likes a podcast.
Mate, if you forgot, man, we sell T-shirts, Wrestling Daft T-shirts, mate.
What do we sell? Tell me, what do we sell?
Listen, we sell the Marcus here with a pick of the Wrestling Daft belt. We've got Wrestling's Kid on. The immortal quote from Hulk Hogan. What does it go like again?
Is it something like, good night, Hulkamaniacs and jabroni marks without a life, but don't notice a work when you work a work and work yourself into a shoot marks? Something like that.
I think that's that, mate. Well, I've got that in a T-shirt too. Remember the Honky Tonk story? I'm going to take a bat for you.
Oh, I remember that was one of the funniest stories ever on Wrestling Daft. Can you tell me you can get that on a T-shirt?
I'm telling you, mate, that's on a T-shirt. Not only that, you get chips, cheese, and doner meat, and Margaret!
Era Fiend! Can you get one? Is there any T-shirts that say, oh, I'll take my chest? No?
I think they're coming soon. Are they coming soon?
I hope so. I hope so. That'd be cracking.
But listen, on the bus, there's not just that. There's hoodies, there's face masks, there's phone covers, there's trucker caps, there's bump bags. Hey, there's even aprons. You know where to get them, Rab?
Is it something like, hold on, is it something like shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft? Is it something like that?
You're bang on, Rab. So check out our range at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft now, or you can check out the Facebook page or Twitter, and it's at Wrestling Daft.
Every week, we separate the line of duties for the lines at the supermarkets as we take a look at the bad and the good of wrestling. Now, John wrote that intro there. Now that he says, look at the bad and good, no, the good and bad this time. So are you saying line of duty is bad?
No, sorry, I've mixed that.
Oh, he's trying to do something here. He's trying to get me in trouble with Martin Compton here.
Line of duty's
trying
good.
To do something here. Now, me and Martin, I mean, we're both good Tims, right? I don't want you trying to cause trouble. We've had a fucking rough enough year, right? So don't you be causing any trouble between us.
Sorry, Rab.
Right, what are you burying and what are you putting out this week, Grado?
Oh, wait to
hold on, I just want to bury them flinging the tomatoes at the Miz and all that. I was watching that bit and New Day and what's his name? The boy that was that let Bad Bunny steal his thunder.
Damien Priest,
the boy that let Bad Bunny make him look like a strob. He was there with a New Day and they were flinging tomatoes at the boy with a guitar, the kind of macho man looking guy with a guitar.
Elias,
and the other boy that nobody knows his name.
Jackson Riker
Miz and Morrison, and they were throwing tomatoes at them. And like, so Morrison was getting hit with a tomato and was like selling it like he'd been shot and all that. And I was thinking to myself, I'm not 8 years old, so I can't engage with this at all. And then also, I just want to say, Alexa Bliss was there. We just a wee bit male dark makeup around her eyes with that wee fucking doll. And it's in a desperate state, mate. I'm burying it all.
Well, speaking of the Miz, I'm about three quarters into his documentary on Netflix, and I don't mind it, by the way. He's actually not too bad. I didn't think I'd like it.
I mean, hold on a minute here. Like, I've always said, like, The Miz deserves a massive amount of respect. This guy earned it, let me tell you. This guy earned it, this boy.
He sure did. I enjoyed that, and I also enjoyed the Steve Austin biography channel gimmick that came out. The Lost Treasures WWE episode, I wasn't too keen on.
Nah.
Really, the reason why I was watching it and getting mad, should I message yous?
Because
they were going, you know, Cactus Jack flannels go for between 400 and 4 grand. Cactus Jack soaks, original soaks, because apparently it was the props guy that made the soaks back in the day. But if Mick Foley drew the soak on, then they're worth mega money, and he does it a certain way. No, the night I won the title against Drew, he gave me his flannel and he gave me soap, and I can't fin the flannel or the soap. And I didn't think much of it until I watched this, because Foley was basically saying, look, I don't go through flannels. Like,
aye.
I have them for like a good couple of years. And so this is torturing my soul, mate.
It's a rough one. I didn't like that show very much. I wasn't great.
Did you watch it?
I watched one episode.
It was a bit too, porn stars, you can, I'll get my pal, he kens about fucking 1917 wind-up clown dolls, do you know what I mean? Like, as if they're just in a corner.
Aye.
It's a bit too,
Feel like a lot of shite, man. Feel like work to me.
Aye.
Feel like work, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
So, let's see what the punters are saying. Giza Gobbledygooker wants to put all the Impact Rebellion show, another consistently good show for the Impact crew, with particular mentions for the X Division match opener and Omega Swan. Impact going about his business very well just now. I've still not watched Impact. I need to check it out. And he wants to bury that dick sending Mickey James her gear in a black bag, then getting fun with a load of stolen belts under his bed. You couldn't make it up. That's right. Mickey James gets sent her stuff home in a black bag, which was just... And listen, fucking fair play to Mickey James for putting that photo up.
Hmm. Because I think a lot of the other troops that have been released that happened to them and all, but a lot of them will be like, look, well, I'm not putting this up on the internet because it might stop me from getting rehired. But like Mickey James, who's fucking, she's done everything. She's, who is an absolute diamond, by the way, a great, great person. It was a weird one, that, wasn't it? Just within a couple of hours, and then the boy get the fucking tin tack. It was bizarre, wasn't it?
I mean, I don't believe for one second that they don't know that this happens. Like, I don't believe for one second they're like, well, all this time we've been sending people stuff home in a fucking bin bag. You know what I mean?
I mean, at the same time, because I was talking to Shab, but I was going, fuck, man, I sometimes turn up at shows with Tesco bags, do you know what I mean?
I know, but when you let somebody go, you need to, just, it's a wee bit of decorum in it.
Aye.
But it's like, you know what it's like, once you're out, they fucking just treat you like, you know, they act like you remind them of a piece of trash. Do you know what I mean? They act like. Now, Billy wants to put her WWE Most Wanted. Didn't they know I wanted WWE cross with porn stars until now? And he wants to bury Matt Riddle and Randy Orton. Get that so far to fuck. Listen, Randy Orton is almost like doing a tour. You know, I feel like Randy Orton is doing a tour. You know, he's kind of gone.
That's funny.
I feel like Randy Orton's walked into Vince's office, right, and he's went, right, Vince, who's rotten? And Vince has went, well, the Fiend's rotten. Riddle's kind of rotten now as well. Randy Orton's went, fucking stick me in a program where he's fucking rotten, guys.
Do you think he would have got teamed up with him if he hadn't made that gaffe backstage? Do you think it was one of the, like, we need to get Orton in here to steady the ship?
It's almost like, I mean, I'm only kidding on about Riddle being rotten. I find Riddle quite entertaining, right? I'm kind of exaggerating. I'm exaggerating for comedy effect here, right? But I think there might be an element of this. I think Randy Orton's kind of going, stick me in some things that are a bit left of center. I'm in the mood. He's having a bit of fun. I'm in the mood for trying out some daft stuff with people. You know what I mean? And now, listen, good things might come in this tag team. I would say to people, keep your powder dry on slagging this one off, because these two guys can go.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be interesting seeing these. And they're a total odd couple as well. So it could be interesting. Pablo wants to bury, how could you have a list of best wrestling gear and no mention Ravishing Rick Rude? Because of the painted tights, Nora. Look, I don't know. It's because they tied into storylines. It's no like his painted gear tied into storylines in an effect, to an effect, right? It wasn't really something you identify him with wearing as like this was his consistent look. So that's my defence to that. And Pablo wants to put Austin Johnson in that 1980s Hulk Hogan comeback at Ibrox. Keep that part of First Football daft. We're not interested in that here. Dan wants to bury the constant can they coexist storylines. It's old. Get over it. The Mega Powers exploding was a formula for it. It was perfectly nuanced at the time. The stories these days are telegraphed, he says. Surely there's a better way to get wrestlers into feuds than having them lose a tag team match. I agree with this. I agree with this very much. Now, I actually think, in truth, there has to be a kind of, there has to be a freshening up of the kind of storylines that professional wrestling likes to use. You know what I mean? Because we do keep seeing all the same ones again. The can they coexist thing, the tag team splitting up, the, you know, the somebody disrespecting another one. You know what I mean? We're going to see a lot of the same stuff rehashed. There has to be some new takes on this.
What is an example?
Well, like even for a kind of the most basic point of view, is that thing the day on the run up to a WrestleMania or something where they're always putting, right, these guys are going to be facing each other at WrestleMania. Let's see how they do in a match together as tag team partners. You know what I mean? You're kind of like, we've fucking seen this, man. You know what I mean?
I wonder if they've done it like, I'm just thinking like the most ridiculous stuff that people fought over in real life in wrestling. You know, like this guy's stole my ring gear, this guy's doing my move, this guy, you know, it starts off naturally like that, you know what I mean? This guy said this about me on Twitter, or, you know.
It always amazes me that things don't happen. Like, I remember when Seth Rollins started using the pedigree, right? I remember thinking to myself, it'd be brilliant if Triple H came out and went,
no,
fucking stop using the pedigree.
Aye.
You know what I mean?
Because that would, you know, that happens everywhere.
But you know what I mean? You would be kind of like, oh man, I'm into this story because this is going to build up to these two guys being in the ring together, trying to pedigree each other. It would be, you know. But then it wasn't that, and I kind of feel...
It's like another one is like, you know, I remember when I wrestled for that company in America, and a guy would use a move, maybe a low to mid card boy
mm-hmm.
or lassie, and then somebody would come over for WWE who done the move that this guy does, and it would be like, well, you need to stop that now. So
you're not doing that.
Perfect way to go. So mate, I've no to use this. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Aye. No,
I think that's really intelligent what I've just said.
That is really intelligent what you just said. But I just kind of, there has to be a new way of doing some of these things. It is getting tiring. And also, like, when was the last time we even saw, like, you can't have these guys in the same building as each other? If these guys are in the same building as each other, they'll kill each other. When was the last time you saw that? They're always, like, walking out and having conversations with each other. I hate you, but I'll stand here and chat to you for a while. When was the last time you were like, don't let these guys... Mm-hmm. Like, you remember, like, Austin and Pillman and fucking the guns and in the hearses and people screaming and all of that? It's like there was a time in wrestling where it was like, these guys kind of coexist on the same planet, never mind the same tag team, and they don't do that anymore.
Well, the best thing that I saw, I can remember in recent history was, I can't remember, who was it? It was Brock Lesnar and Cena, maybe? And they had the pull apart in the ring. Do you remember that? And then, you know, they get pulled apart and then they were back again, bam, bam, bam. And I'm watching it going, this is superb.
But even with something like the pull apart, they will only date in one night.
Yeah.
They will date in one night, and then next week they'll coexist again. The week before they'll coexist. But it'd be nice to see some kind of program or angle with somebody where it's like these guys hate each other, like genuinely fucking hate each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That kind of fire, it's no there. Hey, Kev wants to bury Rich Swann losing the Impact World title. Kenny Omega is brilliant, but I don't really understand the link up between Impact and AEW. Doesn't understand it. Kev doesn't understand it. No. What I would say to that is the guy who owns AEW, what's his name again? Remind me.
Tony Khan.
Tony Khan, sorry. Tony Khan knows what he's doing. Tony Khan's brilliant. He's brilliant. Tony Khan, if you're out there, I just want to say I think you're doing a brilliant job. And there's just something about you. I think me and you would be really good pals. Kev wants to put over NXT, the whole roster, bloody NXT, the whole roster's putting on great shows and really enjoying Cameron Grimes and the Killian Dane Drake Maverick tag team. Well, we love Killian Dane and Drake Maverick, for sure. Jamie wants to bury Aleister Black looking like Dennis Nelson, and he wants to put over RK-Bro as good as Raw got this week. Aleister Black obviously got a new gimmick coming. Aleister Black's promo video. His wee promo video for him coming back was brilliant.
Wow.
With animation and all that.
I snarl at you, mate.
With animation, it was brilliant.
Wow.
Wow.
John wants to bury the Raw, the whole show, we need direction, and the poor builder, Damien Priest. I mean, they've really balls that up, the Damien Priest stuff. Flinging tomatoes and all that. What have they done? That guy was a cool guy. Now he's a guy flinging tomatoes and cutting about with Bad Bunny. Come on, dude. And John wants to put over Cameron Grimes and Ted DiBiase segment on NXT. Sandy wants to put over the new WWE documentaries like Miz 24 and Hidden Treasures. It's phenomenal, he says. And he wants to bury the Nia Jax slipping all the time part. Just fucking bin it. He's like that. Sandy's like that. Vince, see that Nia Jax slipping about? Nice fucking rap. That. That says Sandy in the meeting. In the creative meeting with Vince. Here, Vince. Fucking drama. He wants to put over the Stone Cold documentary. Nobody will ever be that over and get that reaction ever again. I mean, the reactions that Stone Cold used to get when that glass smashed. Whoa, Grado.
Oh, my God, man. You need the documentary is really good. What I liked about it was, it's the first time I've ever saw Austin get a bit emotional, man. He was kind of red about the eyes when he was talking about how he had to retire. How he had his last match, and I was like, oh man, I've never really thought that that really got to him. Like, because you just see him as a guy, I'm jacking it in, but he got he was very sensitive talking about it.
Sometimes you think you have an idealized image of wrestling in your head, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I think about wrestling at its best, here's what it is. There's people brawling in the ring, and it's loud as fuck, right? There's people brawling in the ring, and the crowd are going, and they're jumping about already, right? They're jumping about already, and they're looking up the ramp. Some of them are looking up the ramp because they're anticipating the glass break, and Stone Cold comes down, and the fucking roof comes off, man. And he's in, stunner, stunner, stunner. And you do think to yourself, will it ever be that good again?
I know, mate.
Sorry, putting it down. And Willie wants to put her Alistair Black's new snooker player gimmick. That's what it is, right? The son of Dennis Taylor, because he had big glasses on. And he wants to bury Raw. I swear the show gets shiter every time I watch it, which is not often these days. Listen, Raw is shite. Absolute shite. That is a terrible, terrible 3 hours of telly. Let me tell you something. That is the worst 3 hours of fucking telly you could ever imagine. These people, right? The fucking name throwing a tomatoes, right? And we keep going back to this, right? But these grown men, right? One of these grown men I've seen in a fucking sex tape, by the way, right? These grown men throwing tomatoes, right? At other grown men in a fucking wrestling ring in front of a load of screens of people sitting in their rooms being told to wave their arms about. It's the fucking worst telly you could possibly imagine. And this is the kind of thing that's going to change once British wrestling is unionized. I don't know if that's a thing that's going to happen.
God, I'm watching this tomato shite now.
It's fucking terrible, isn't it, mate?
Wow. Oh, man. I don't like saying this.
It's bad telly. Let's move
on. Just like they're rolling about the flair selling the tomatoes, man. Me and Jessica get worse when we fucking wrestled at Cranhill Park, man. We're getting scorned in the heat with apples, man.
Here is Rab's rule. Here's Rab's rule number one, right? You know your career is in a bad place when you're selling the tomatoes. That's Rab's rule of wrestling number one. You know your career is in a bad place when you're selling the tomatoes.
It left me and them red-faced.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, I'm glad you took a look at it, Grado, and decided to catch up with...
Get
going with fantastic. The pun ends back. Now, it's the part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to do a run-in. This week, however, we have a special guest. Last week, The Undertaker and Ric Flair's 1992 Royal Rumble win were mentioned in the House of Parliament. And it was all to do with a report put together by MP Mark Fletcher, Conservative MP Mark Fletcher of the Conservatives, who is calling for more support and more regulation for British wrestling. We thought it might be interesting to get him on Wrestling Daft for a chat. It's our first ever Conservative MP guest. Mark Fletcher, welcome to the show.
Hello, I was desperately scrambling to come off mute there.
There we go. There he is. He's even got a commentator's microphone on.
Well, you say a commentator's microphone, but I still call it a Madonna microphone.
That's is that
still,
what you call it?
I'm probably more Madonna than I am a commentator, in fairness.
Right, so Mark Fletcher, why don't you introduce yourself and let us know? Because normally when we have guests on this show, they're either wrestlers or they're kind of guys that just like work for Amazon and all that and just kind of cut about however you, sir, are in the Houses of Parliament. Why don't you tell us what your deal is?
Well, I'm Mark Fletcher. I'm the Member of Parliament for Bolsover, but I am also the co-chairman of the all-party parliamentary group for wrestling. And as you will all know, we released a report relatively recently, but I'm also a very passionate wrestling fan and have been since being, you know, a small kid. So this is a lovely opportunity to sort of marry one of my passions with the work that I do on a day-to-day basis.
Just a wee question, Mark, before we start here, right? Obviously, you got up and you hit out with a bit of wrestling chat in there last week. And I was just wondering, you know, sometimes every wrestling fan, I think, understands this feeling you get sometimes when you talk about wrestling in front of people who don't watch wrestling. And you always have that wee party inside that's like, oh, I feel like a 14-year-old boy here talking about the wrestling. I was just wondering when I saw that, I thought, I wonder if Mark Fletcher is feeling that just now, just a wee bit within him, just a wee bit kind of, oh, here I'm out myself as a wrestling fan. Did you have a wee bit of that?
Absolutely. And you kind of got to go all in, right? You can't be a sort of a halfway house. You've got to go all out and say, I love this. You can't be a bit of, oh, I saw it a bit and I'm just sort of interested. I'm a wrestling fan. I'm not ashamed of that. Like, it's sort of... you know, it's something that I loved, but I was aware that a lot of colleagues were sort of going to look at me and think, oh, really? And so I decided, if you're going to go in, go the whole way.
Because you're sitting there and I'm watching, I'm going, an MP's just mentioned New Japan and the Houses of Parliament. That's blew my mind. And then did you plan to like mention New Japan and stuff like that? Because it felt like you cut a promo. You just started shooting for the hip. I watch New Japan. I get DVDs.
When you get elected for the first time, you get all sorts of random letters from foreign sort of dignitaries. And so the Japanese ambassador wrote to me and sort of said, congratulations on your new role. And as he wrote to everyone else who'd just been elected. And I wrote back saying, by the way, I'm a huge fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling and my husband's massively into Japanese games and loves Final Fantasy. And I never got a response back. I'm not sure.
Hey, speaking of Japanese games in New Japan, let me show you this. Hold on.
That's brilliant. that's brilliant. What you got, Rab?
I just ordered this New Japan Wrestling game for my N64 just this week for eBay.
Nice.
There we go. That's the two worlds crossed together there. So, tell us what it is. What exactly is it you're aiming to do? Because we do need some changes here in the UK.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as I see it, the wrestling industry has been very good despite itself in the UK. And I think that it's over the last year, sort of two things really shone a light on the fact that the industry wasn't in a good place. One was COVID. And if you look at the way in which a lot of industries have been lobbying for additional support or lobbying for a change in regulations or lobbying to get a pilot so that they can have fans back in attendance. And wrestling had none of that. It had no seat at the table. It had no voice. You know, like tweeting isn't a voice. If you want to sort of get the government to change something or get Sports England to give more funding or whatever it is, you need to be able to have a unified voice for an industry. And DCMS, we met with the Department for Culture, Media and Sport and said, you know, what about wrestling? And they went, well, who do we speak to? Like, you know, we could have 40 promoters in tomorrow for a round table, but you just know that the other 40 promoters who aren't invited would discredit the meeting and say, you know, that's not what we wanted. Oh, and on the other hand, you had the awful allegations around sort of speaking out and the way in which that sort of played out. And I think it really shone a light on sort of abuses of power. But it also, what it really did was highlight an industry that operates largely outside of the law, outside of regulations. And it is a culturally very difficult industry. And I think the two things go hand in hand. So one is governance and one is culture, and you know, the all sorts of byproducts come from that. But ultimately what I want to try and do is help wrestling to professionalize, to get a seat at the table and to try and come together and say, guys, if we want this to be in existence in 30 years time, if we don't want to get left behind, we've got to work together. And you know, I have no stake in it. I have no financial stake in wrestling. All I have is my passion for it and my fanhood, and I just happen to have two letters after my name that allow me to sort of speak on those passions.
Well, you know what? I respect you for this, by the way, and you're bang on about wrestling needing governance, because you're right. It's like right now, anybody can open up a school and say that they've got experience in wrestling. They can put on a show. They can put on wrestlers at 14, 15 years old that have maybe been training for a couple of weeks. It's just no right. And also, you said about the speaking out allegations. And I get really frustrated last year because I contacted my local MP and I told her, I wrote her a big letter about how we need to do something about to try and put rules in place to governise it, and she basically told me to go to the police, and which was quite frustrating. So to hear a couple of months down the line that you've actually took this on and you're actually fighting for it, I've got to respect you for that, mate.
Then great, Bigredo is also, it's understandable, I think, sometimes when you contact maybe a politician who isn't a wrestling fan and isn't aware of the scene, it's quite understandable that they have that reaction, I think, because it's the problem that wrestling has always had has, it's always been this thing where it's not a sport and it's not the arts really. And it's, but it is, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it is the arts. It should be, you know what I mean? That's where it should be positioned and where it should sit. But I mean, that was definitely, the speaking out thing was definitely a big milestone in that kind of understanding. I think people were starting to come to that, you know, this is kind of a mess, and there's too much of a spotlight on it now for it to be this much of a mess, to be as amateur as it is. Because there were some companies in the UK who had become very prominent, very successful, but still had a kind of amateur streak running through them.
Well, within the last sort of 2 minutes, you've mentioned, you know, four or five things that we tried to cover in our report. From, you know, so anyone can set up a wrestling promotion. You know, the rings that people operate in, there's no required standards. The training to be able to step in and perform in a show, there's no required standard. The way in which those coaches, there's no required standard for, you know, that you don't even have to have been a wrestler yourself to be able to coach wrestling or to sort of, you know, be any good at it. And you can be talking, you are talking about sort of 15, 16 year olds in some cases. You're also talking about people who are, you know, they could be easily led astray. I'm not saying they always are. But then you speak about the sort of the sports and the arts. And this is the fundamental problem, right? Is that the wrestling ultimately started originally as a sport, as a physical exercise, and actual fighting is quite boring. And so it became sort of slightly fake for sustainable reasons, and then more and more fake. But actually, in sort of my world, in the political world, something has to be one or the other, because yeah, who you go and speak to and who you relate to in sort of industry terms, it matters. Is it the Arts Council? Is it Sports England? So we looked at this and we said, actually, we think, you know, training schools are probably a sporting undertaking because of the way in which you have a coaching pathway, you have minors involved, you have largely a physical undertaking more than anything else. We think that fits more nicely under sort of a sporting envelope. But then any wrestling show that you go to is a performance. It is a brilliant performance. And the fact that people think it might be sporting is in fact part of the performance and shows they're very good at it. But it is a, you know, it is a wonderful performance. But as a sort of starting point, to not have it classified correctly is a really difficult thing. And when we started the sort of the inquiry that we did, we thought, oh, this will take a few months and we'll get some good recommendations. And actually, every rock we picked up, we found another issue, and it was another set of things that we had to talk through. And they all stem from weird governance, weird history, and weird culture.
And what is the end game here? Is it an independent governing body that oversees everything, or I mean, what do you see as the end goal of this?
I think that would be a huge step forward. I also think it's not for me to say. You know, I think that the wrestling industry itself, that's a question for every promoter that you speak to, for every wrestler that you speak to, for every fan that you speak to. I'm just one fan. I am very happy to play a role in trying to bring together an independent governing body, which I think the industry would hugely benefit from. And actually, in the long run, I think it would pay back to the industry tenfold. But it's not for me to sort of determine where wrestling goes from now on. I think that's for everyone involved in wrestling to have that conversation.
Mark, how do you feel about a wrestling union?
I think there are huge advantages to doing that. You know, I think if you look at the way in which some of the talent that are involved in wrestling, they talk about their experiences, they talk about not being paid correctly, they talk about operating in unsafe work environments, not everywhere. You know, one of the difficulties in my job is sometimes I focus on the negatives, and there are brilliant things that wrestling does, not only entertain, but raising money for charity and things like that. And I try and flag up that I love it, and I think it has loads of positives. But, you know, there are serious cases for better representation for those who work in the wrestling industry. And we spoke to Equity. It was one of the very first sort of conversations that we had. And, you know, this has international ramifications as well, because, you know, the independent contractor status has been an ongoing conversation for some time. But, you know, for me, there is an argument for more protection and more representation for those who work in the wrestling industry.
Because it does get sticky, right? It does get sticky because, let's see, I mean, I think a wrestling union would be an amazing idea. And I think it would be amazing if that was one of the things that Britain did, was, you know, we're going to unionize and all wrestlers are going to be in a union. And there's going to, because particularly with the speaking out thing, I remember thinking to myself, see if there was a union that these people could have mm-hmm. went, I'm going to go to the union about this tomorrow. See if there was that, even that. Would be a massive change. And I remember thinking that would be a huge positive. When you think of the reality of a union right now, as things are in the UK, there are so many workers in the UK who are signed to the WWE. And if a British wrestling union came in, you know, you might end up seeing a situation where, like, well, if you join that union, you're released. You're gone for the WWE. Aye. You know, and so it starts to get really tricky, which leads us into another thing as well. I think one of the things when we talk about, you know, when we talk about protecting British wrestling and we talk about better standards and practices and we talk about, you know, protecting it going forward for the next 10, 20, 30 years as an industry within the UK, I think an issue that has to crop up here as well, an issue that has to be looked at here as well, is the WWE's influence upon the UK scene. Because what we have definitely seen, I would say, over the past few years is the WWE making quite an aggressive move into, and this is the strange thing, because it looks like, well, this is a lovely thing. Or friends are signed to the WWE. That's great. It's their dream. It's always been their dream. It's the dream they've pursued and stuff like that. But there's also an argument there that the WWE have done what they've always aggressively done, and that is reached into other territories to kind of monopolize the talent now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of familiar with the origins of the WWE as we recognize it now, and the WWF, and the sort of the work that that Vince McMahon did in sort of acquiring territories, or indeed just sort of bulldozing others out. I'm sort of familiar with all of that history. And I think, you know, in the UK, the WWE brings a lot of benefits, right? So it offers, you know, a lot of people put to us, it's a career pathway now. All of a sudden you can go from Glasgow through to Orlando through to wherever they're doing Raw that week. And there is a clear pathway to do that. And that's great, because we've got really talented people and they deserve that pathway. But they also have the performance center in Enfield, and they have the relationships with various promotions in the UK. And I think on some things, I think the WWE and what I would like to see happen in wrestling are aligned. So things around minimum standards at shows, making sure there's a medic at a show, which should be, you know, sort of a pretty standard mm-hmm. thing, making sure that people are operating in unfit rings. I think we are aligned on those. I think there are some areas that you've just alluded to where there are more difficult conversations that need to happen around how you protect workers and how there is a freedom to perform in different areas. And, you know, I would say I'm a big fan of AEW generally, but I also really like the way in which they're working with other partners in the US, and the way in which they've treated their talent and given them sort of more freedom than perhaps the WWE would offer. And I think there is a certain argument of, you know, WWE has tended to perform best historically when it's had good competition. And I mean that in a sort of business practice sense, as well as in front of the cameras. So, you know, the important thing, and the best thing that could happen, is that we can have those conversations directly with the WWE, and that we can be, they are a major stakeholder any which way we look at the future of British wrestling. Right. And if they are involved in the conversation, whether it's good or bad, I think that is the most important part of that, of this process, and my big ask to them.
Mark, do you just want to get to meet Triple H?
I'm afraid he doesn't make my top 10 wrestlers that I'm desperate to meet, but I certainly wouldn't turn it down.
Mark, you're coming on here. I love the way you speak, and I'm confident that this can be successful, and I'd love to be part of any organisation, any kind of, I don't know, I would just like to be involved in this, obviously, because it is protecting my futures. But I've got two kind of really, really important questions that I really wanted to ask you. One was, have you got a favourite Grado match? And my second question is, have you been up Boris Johnson's new flat?
I'm going to firmly say the answer is no to both in the hopes of avoiding any controversy.
Yeah, look, mate, that's brilliant. I can't believe I've managed to get an MP to say no. I've always wanted to do that. That's brilliant.
Right, here's a question for you. Obviously, in Bolsover, before you, there was the beast of Bolsover himself, Dennis Skinner, legendary MP. Why have you not got a crack nickname like the Beast of Bolsover? I mean, you're a wrestling fan. Surely you should have something like that.
In fairness, Dennis did do this job for 49 years and I've done it for 16 months. So give me some time and I might acquire a nickname.
You need to establish your gimmick. You need to establish your gimmick first before you can. Is there other wrestling fans in the Houses of Parliament? Is there anybody you talk wrestling with?
There are. So Alex Davis-Jones is my co-chairman here, who's the Labour MP for Pontypridd.
Does she like great my matches?
I'm not speaking for Alex on that one. No, is the short answer. But there's Paul Bristow, who's has been in a wrestling ring, who's the MP for Peterborough. But I have to say, one of the most interesting things about this process is how many closeted wrestling fans there are, how many people who won't quite wear their colours in public. So I've got two MPs who've sworn me to secrecy, but have sent me photos of themselves with wrestlers. And the number of people who, including sort of doorkeepers in the House of Commons, who were all absolutely in love with the adjournment debate because they are big wrestling fans but just haven't admitted it. So, yeah, they are everywhere. And every time we had an interview with on the day we released the report, the producer would sort of whisper quietly, "Oh, I've slipped some John Cena music in there. It's great." And it was just ridiculous.
So how do we get the fans out there, the wrestling fans out there, energized about this? I mean, this is the thing, because you really need, I would imagine with something like that, there's a lot of wrestling fans in the UK. There's a lot of wrestling fans in the UK. How do they get involved in a constructive way in what you're trying to do here?
Well, I think the first thing to do is to read the report. And it is a long report that we put out. It was a sort of 103 pages or something. But, I think to be well grounded in what has happened and to understand the issues that face the future of the industry, I think the first thing to do is make sure, whether you agree with everything, every recommendation, I think the factual stuff is the most important bit. I think the second thing, if you want to get involved, is drop us an email. It's the APPG's contact details are readily available. But the third thing is, are you asking the right questions? Are you sort of thinking when you go to a show, is this legit? Are these guys are they treating their talent well? Are they putting safeguarding measures in place? Wrestling is one of the few industries where it's really accessible between fans and performers. And actually having those conversations and turning around to people and saying, are you being looked after properly? Are you getting paid the minimum wage or the national living wage or whatever it is? Are you actually getting paid for the amount of time you're spending at a show? Do you feel safe doing what you do? And supporting the wrestling industry is going to be massively important, because over the next, we've lost however many months to COVID where you couldn't have shows. But alongside getting it back to what it was before, we also need it to be better, and we need to ask for more for our talent and for everyone involved in wrestling, because it is a brilliant industry and it can be brilliant. We've let ourselves down in a few areas.
Right. One more thing, Mark. We didn't want to get too political on this, no, or anything, but being a part of the Conservative Party, do you feel like you're in the biggest heel faction in the UK? Does it have that vibe?
Yeah, it does sometimes feel that way, in fairness. But, one thing I would say is Twitter is not the real world.
You're not on Twitter, you know.
No, I'm not. Right. But I think that is a positive thing. Sort of most of the anger that people think that they express at politicians now is a sort of 140 character thing, Whereas actually, when you speak to most people, we're not such a heel faction, or at least we're a cool heel faction, sort of bully club stuff.
Well, listen, man, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and it's great, I think, that you're doing this stuff, and it's great to hear you talking about, you know, even things like you think that a union is a good idea and stuff, because, you know, you're a wrestling fan, and I think the one thing that we all share is that we have a love for these guys, with the exception of Grado, maybe, a love for these guys that and girls out there who do this really, really difficult form of entertainment. And really dangerous for my entertainment, and you know they really deserve the best protection that they can get. So we appreciate that, Mark, and thanks for coming on. Thanks for chatting.
Not at all. Thank you very much for having me, and do keep asking the difficult difficult questions and having those conversations, because we will get better as an industry if we don't forget about it. If we keep asking.
Cheers, man. Thanks Cheers, so mate. Much.
Thank you. Have very a nice much, night. Mark. See you later on.
Bye now. Bye. Now, if you want to be on the run-in, best bet is to sign up to our Patreon, as our World Heavyweight Champs get first dibs, IC Champs get second, Cruiserweight Champions get third. Get in patreon.com/wrestlingdaft so you can get involved as well. You don't need to be a conservative politician to get on it. You can just be anybody you like. John, for balance, we'll need to get a Labour person on now.
Oh, so we do. And then we need to get an SNP, and then we need to get a Lib Dem.
Because actually,
a Lib Dem, man.
It's actually today what we've done.
So we need to get a wee bit of balance on here. So I'm not having people think this is a conservative. Well,
if there's an MP,
I mean, it's starting to look like we're a bit right wing, right? Let me tell you why, right? Let me tell you why it looks like we're maybe Tories, right? We've had a conservative MP on chatting here, right? Yep. We've had Trump supporting Jericho in our first episode, and also we've got Rangers fan Grado as one of the presenters. So that's like that's the trifecta. So we need to get.
We can get that boy. We can get that boy. What do you call him, Kenneth Gibson, that was in the Parliament trying to get like a prayer, trying to get my rights to like a prayer. That would even hurt.
Aye, or we could get Jerry Adams on next week.
What about Willie Rennie? He's maybe a wrestling fan.
Willie Rennie. Mm. That's the way he's a wrestling fan, man.
No, that's true. Who's the most likely MP to be a wrestling fan?
Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson's
probably. I can imagine him. No, do you know? Imagine him going all like about the old wrestling. No?
Here's
why don't you hear John? Here, just for a laugh, right?
Right.
Now that we've had Mark on, right? Why don't you email 10 Downing Street and see if Boris Johnson will come on to talk about it?
Right. I could do that, or I can maybe start with a bit of low-hanging fruit. Maybe, what's...
Mate, go straight to the top. You kid me on?
Right, well, do you know, build up... Like...
Listen, I'm emailing Vince McMahon tonight and telling him that the UK plans to unionise British wrestling.
Aye.
Why don't you get... The government are planning to union. I'm fucking emailing Vince McMahon about that tonight.
Why don't you get some of the audience that are probably, you know, and if you were to compare it to wrestling, that would be doing the old shoot interviews news and having their own podcast. You look, John Major.
Shoot interviews, John Major coming on.
You know what I mean? John Major's.
We have got a massive exclusive on this show.
Right.
When you think about it. We have got a massive exclusive, which is that there is within government an appetite to unionise British wrestling.
There is.
That is an enormous exclusive. Now, you'd be very careful with how you use that information, mate. Sit on it. Don't go fucking tweeting out. Let's think about it. We need to think about it for a couple of days. How do we use that information? There is an appetite within the UK government to unionise British wrestling. At Triple H, at WWE Stephanie McMahon. Think about it. Fucking think about that.
Right, okay. So, why not get Patrick Harvey on to talk about Triple H then, no?
Fucking Patrick Harvey, man.
I don't know who that is.
You just made the list!
It's time for the list of wrestling daft. Take a subject, make an informed opinion about said subject, put them in order, you've got a list. And that's what we do. It's a list of wrestling daft. You can vote for what you want us to talk about at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. This week it was the best high flyers against the hardest men in wrestling. And of course, with 71% of the vote, the hardest people in wrestling won it. So here's my list. Number three... It's all British wrestler Sabotage.
All right, I'll sub.
He's at number three.
Contacted him last week. We'll talk
very
last
hard
week.
Guy. At number two, it's the man himself.
So, all right,
Conscience. SWA legend Conscience is at number two. Mm-hmm. Hardest man in wrestling at number one. Of course, it has to be Magic. NWA UK Hammerlock. Legend. Magic. This is a ridiculous question you've put up here. By the way, let me tell you something. I'm going to go off on a wee tangent here. Talking about the old SWA days. I love Magic, by the way. What a sweet guy he was, man.
He was lovely.
what a lovely guy that guy was. And he went in there. I know, he's still alive, still out there. He converts arcade cabinets and all that kind of stuff. But he was a smart, intelligent guy who wasn't the biggest guy, but went out
he
there.
He got bigger.
Oh, aye, he bulked up. And he went down there, pulled off great matches, man. Just had a great attitude about him. Was a good promo. It was great interacting with the crowd. Great interacting with the fucking audience, man. It was a good heel for SWA. I just wanted to put it out there, man.
Sabotage as well, by the way, in terms of character. You know, sometimes you get guys, like obviously had a bit of a taker gimmick, right?
Aye.
But you'd get that all over the place. But Sab was brilliant at it. Perfect at it. He looked like a wrestler.
Oh, but listen.
He genuinely looked scary.
Mate,
like,
mate, sometimes, you've got to remember that sometimes Sabotage was in the ring, right? And this big, giant fucking guy, man, that looked like, well, he could square up to the Undertaker, this guy. And then 5 minutes later, Grado came in. Like fucking 15 year old.
Like my first single was match with a sub.
15-year-old wee guy. It's funny when you think about it now, isn't it?
Okay, isn't it funny when you think about it now? Shots?
Big Sabotage with his big like pleather trousers on, not that big fucking giant guy, man. Looked about, I don't know what age he would have been, but it looked as if he was like in his 40s, right? Big old dude, grizzled veteran guy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, wee Grado come in. Yay! Up there. 5 minutes apart. Beautiful. Beautiful thing, wrestling. No, this is a ridiculous list. I can't believe John suggested this list, because how can you possibly know? How can a fan possibly know who the hardest people in wrestling is?
Exactly. That's
how can a fan know this? How can a person who, what, no, I could go, oh, well, obviously, number one has to be Meng. Meng is, how do I fucking know?
I know.
I know everybody says that Meng was a hard man, right? But everybody could be working, everybody.
Well, you know why I mean? Here's a suggestion. Go through the listeners' suggestions and Grado, because Grado of what or of heard about these guys and how hard they are.
The majority of them probably the same way as everybody else finds it on like show interviews. But in terms of like, I've always say like, I remember the first time I was in a dressing room with Eddie Kingston, and I thought, and I was literally mega intimidated. Like I thought, I don't want to be in the same room as this guy. I'm so scared of this guy for his promo work and just his swagger.
And also because his character is so believable as well.
But mate, bang on the money.
When that character, when Eddie Kingston tells you, I've been on the streets, I've done this, not that, you don't doubt it. Yeah. You don't go, that's a guy working a gimmick here.
Then he'll hate me saying this, but he was a bit of a sweetheart. You know what I mean?
Well, but you know, there's the thing. That's, you know what I mean? Whereas, however, I stand by that I be fear a new Jack, man.
Yes.
Fear a new Jack. You know what
I mean?
I mean, I see when I watched the stuff about with Arquette, I remember I was booked to wrestle Nick Gage in AIW. And I fucking, do you know what? See when I think about it now, I'm maybe glad I never. I mean, like I was gutted to pull out it, but I'd be scared of that boy. He's a scary, scary boy.
But I mean, you know Kurt Angle as well, right? And there's always been these stories like Kurt Angle can handle anybody. You know what I mean?
I mean,
but being able to handle anybody doesn't necessarily mean you're the hardest man either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like there's a different thing here. You know what I mean? Because you've got some wrestlers that are the best fighter; they could knock fuck out anybody. And all the wrestlers will go, they're fucking mental, man. They'll stab you. They'll like you get in an argument with them, and they'll fucking come at you with a crowbar.
That's right. Aye.
So. Anyway, let's see what the punters are saying. Steven says, the hardest man in wrestling, the Iron Sheik. He was a chief bodyguard to the Shah of Iran for several years. But that job was pish easy, man. That was easy, that job, man. I was just eating. All he did was he walked in with a fucking Shah of Iran and then went and just went out of the buffet and ate all the snacks. That was it. Vader says here, had a match in Japan with Stan Hansen.
Absolute sweetheart. Again.
Knocked his eye out. Who, Vader?
Well, a crab at cunt, but, you know.
But there's this story about Vader getting his eye knocked out and Vader popped it back in and continued with the match. No, right. Right, no, I love Vader, right? But I want to say this. People always talk about this. Vader had his eye knocked out, right? We hear what he did. He popped it back in. That's what fucking everybody would do.
I know.
See, if your fucking eye popped out, what are you going to do with it? My fucking eye's out. He's a poly bag for this. You'd fucking, the first thing you would do is try and push it back in.
Yeah.
Come on now. Mick says Val Venus. Come on now. Mad Hashid Val Venus. He's running a weed. He's selling weed now, ain't he? See why he's fucking, you could knock a guy out before he get off his couch. No chance. Tomohiro Ishii called the stone pitbull. No wonder he's getting a neck because he's broke it that many times. Aye. Yeah, he keeps getting up. Listen, I feel like I can handle a guy with a neck. Paddy says Steve Blackman became a bounty hunter after wrestling. Imagine nicking some penny chews and then turning around to see the lethal weapon coming down. I love that, man. I love it. Out of pictures going, I'll steal a wee extra wee fucking fried egg here. Tap the shoulder.
Oh, you.
Fucking head cheese stunning there.
Head cheese.
Jim says, clearly it's Joey Styles because he legitimately knocked JBL out. Joey Styles must have sucker punched JBL because there's no way that wee geek knocked out.
I'll tell you the time, oh my God, that I was backstage at one of the Conrad podcasts and JBL and Gerald Briscoe hadn't seen each other in so many months or whatever. And they started carrying on, right, fighting. And they were rolling about the flare, and it was fucking scary, man. Like, really, really, I was like, now the way you would maybe imagine other guys don't, you know, you folk go like, oh, your pals, you maybe kick them in the bum and all that. Aye. That's what they were doing, people going, what are you fucking doing? I'm like, oh, that rolling about the flare. I'm sitting there, man, with Hans Ogle, with a can of beer going, what the fuck are they doing? Rolling about the flare, man, putting holds on one there.
Beautiful how just as normal as NUs go like that. And I was sitting there with Hornswoggle and I went, you know what I mean? Like, if somebody never knew anything about wrestling, they were listening to you telling that story, and I was just sitting there with Hornswoggle. What did you fucking say? What the fuck is Hornswoggle? Hold on, that's the story I want to hear. What's that? Right. Total Falafel says Terry Dory Funk or Harley Race. Harley Race looks like a tough guy.
Aye, man, he would have been.
Wee Stewie says, honestly, the first two people that come to mind is Haku and Walter. Listen, let me tell you something. Nobody called Walter is a tough guy. See, if you're a tough guy and your name's Walter, first thing you fucking do is change your name. Like, I'm no kind of about with that name. Unless having that name makes you a tough guy. Well, how many Walters out there?
You're right, but you're bang on. Like, I know that it's a big name in America, but I always think Jesse's, you know what I mean? Jesse Godders, Jesse.
Tama Tonga as well. Since he's Haku's adoptive son.
He is and I'm no joking, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in your life.
You could argue Nick Gage, though, says Wee Shuey. The guy's insane. Insane? That's a big claim. That's quite harsh. Grado, you'll know this. Is Nick Gage insane?
Well, mate, I've as I said, I was meant to wrestle.
Is he clinically insane?
Also, when backstage and it's intimidating. And you know that way, like, I'm an arsehole with stuff like that. I'm always like, meet Nick Cage, he's got to like me. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I've got to make him laugh or whatever. I know that way. What are you doing, mama? And he's just going, is this guy a fucking gimmick or what? Is this guy a fucking gimmick? Obviously, I get a redneck hinking about it now.
What, while you were there?
Is this guy for fucking real? Is this guy a fucking gimmick? What the fuck? I don't know if you're fucking ribbing me or what. Is this guy? Because I don't think he had done it like that, did he?
You think Nick Gage is going, I'm going to be in the changing room with Grado tonight, I'll have a wee Google and I'll see, oh, what's this? What is that? Test drive. What is that? This is fucking good. This is good. You got a different track on this week. That's crack.
I don't like him, but I prefer Crofty.
Pablo Zolto Horror says, Haku. Stuart says, I've heard Fit Finlay and William Regal can take care of themselves. Of course they can. Of course they can. Regal has that thing now where he's like, you know, the elder statesman of British wrestling, you know, looking after all the young team on. Regal could knock your head off, man. In 2 seconds, Regal would unscrew every listener out there, right? All these pencil neck listeners that are out there, right? Regal would just screw their head off, man. Like he was like he was taking a tap off a bottle of iron brew. He'd fucking drink you. He'd drink you dry, Regal. Jason says the hardest man in wrestling, other than obviously Lesnar. I think Lesnar's a big sweetheart. I've got a feeling Lesnar's a big sweetheart.
I think so. I don't.
In his prime, I reckon Kane could leather anybody. One of the best athletic big guys. Listen, have you seen Kane? Have you seen Kane getting emotional or not and all red eyes like that? Are you kidding me on?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me on? Batista seems like he could scrap for days, says Jason. Grew up in the streets and worked the doors for years. Kurt Angle's a legit gold medalist wrestler, but I bet he's ticklish. Is he ticklish, Grado?
He's ticklish.
Ian says Brock Lesnar. He wasn't a UFC World Heavyweight Champion for nothing.
No, I mean.
Sean says, surely it's Vince. Find me another man that can look scary. They can look scary as fuck, sitting down in a ring, screaming at 2 6-foot blokes built like brick shit houses, and then walk back with 2 torn quads. Or Triple H for even daring to go near Stephanie. Know what I mean?
Hey, man. that is a good one, mate. Chill,
but Grado, who do you think is the hardest, toughest guy you've ever worked with?
I don't know, mate. Listen, I don't know.
The British scene, don't be giving it.
All right, on the British
don't be giving
scene.
It. Well, I think it might be when I was at TNA. It's got to be Lucha's Tales.
Pop something in my head right away. When they mess with Roy Knight. When they mess with Zebra Kid. When they mess with Mossy.
No, no.
But hey, but listen. I mean, Mossy is a fucking sweetheart. Mm-hmm. Mossy is a lovely
Mossy is. Oh, he's beautiful. He fucking wound me up this weekend, man.
Great. What about Jester? Jester strikes me as being a type.
Jester's no feet for empty.
Hard as fuck. Is he hard as fuck?
I've never. Do you know what? I've never seen Jester fight, but he's no feet for empty.
He's a lovely guy, but
that way he can be in situations that we've maybe been out in a pub and somebody will kind of come up to us and I'll kind of be like, "Ah, no bother, whatever." But he'll go, "Look, mate." You know what I mean? I'm like, "Shut up." Agent was like that and all. Lionheart was like that and all. Always fucking. Excuse me. Please leave. Okay, I mean, he just wasn't he feet for folk, no aye. Matter the size of him.
Well, no, like, kind of well, jealous of that. This is the thing. Lionheart, Adrian had a da vibe about him, didn't he, as well?
Oh, aye.
Do you know what I mean?
Fucking mega man.
Adrian had because Adrian was fucking younger than me, obviously, you know what I mean? But I can remember, I remember Adrian had that kind of like, he'll look after us. You know what I mean? I used to think,
aye, you're right.
Don't need to worry about it. Fucking Adrian's here. He'll look after our situation. Don't worry about him. That was nice. So Grado, in the Scottish scene, anybody? Is there anybody that's really you think is really hard, but you think wouldn't we wouldn't expect?
I wouldn't mess with Shamer.
No, I wouldn't mess with Shamer.
His nickname was fucking Sizzles. Do you know what I mean?
Again, a lovely guy, but I'm pretty Shamer. We need to listen. Let's put Shamer over a wee bit, right? Because he might hear this, right? So it's like, Shamer could fucking batter everybody, can he?
Aye.
I think Shamer's the hardest guy in Paisley, right? So that makes you the hardest guy in Scotland, right?
And Paisley is the biggest town, isn't it? So they're always there, isn't it?
And also, people in Paisley can handle themselves.
Aye. People don't mess with scissors.
You don't mess with scissors, mate. You don't fucking run with scissors. That's what they say, isn't it? That's what they say.
Yeah! That's a cut.
Now, we've just added loads more content at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. 2 bonus episodes are up there. Grado's WrestleMania memories, Nora. I'm surprised you can remember any WrestleManias. Grado. We will have more soon, and the best way to get involved is to sign up to one of our tiers at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Loads of extra content up there already. More to come. We'll keep it coming. If you fancy that, becoming one of our patrons, sign up now at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, as we'd love to welcome you to the roster. And my beautiful wife has just brought me a glass of cognac. So here's to you. Everyone.
Cheers.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. Oh, that's beautiful, mate.
That's lovely.
So that's why you should pop a question, mate. That's married life. Beautiful.
Listen, that's no married life, Greg.
Is that no work, John?
Rab lives in a lovely world where he's handed cognacs and all that sort of stuff. That's no reality of marriage. I'll tell you, he's in the honeymoon period. See, when you've been married for 14 years, like myself, fuck that. You're getting fuck all when you're lanes running about.
Well, that's
funny, mate. She's just watching.
Well, we've just found out that John's wife doesn't listen to Wrestling Daft. Quite clear now. It's time for another Wrestling Daft road story. But before we do it, we should shout out to Kyle, who got in touch after last week's love story. He said that the road story was an absolute emotional roller coaster last week.
Rab
absolutely nailed the radio acting, and poor Matthew Shelley's heartbreak wears marks. One thing everybody can agree with is that Mike was the heel. Don't know if that's true. Hashtag UPro2, hashtag Road Stories, hashtag Wrestling Daft. Now, Now, in this segment, we pretend to be wrestlers on the way back for a show as we act out one of your stories. We stress these are your stories, are no yours, right? We don't want cancelled for these, right? So, Grado, let's get this car started, shall
let's
we?
Let's go.
I'm going to have, you're driving the night, so I'm going to have a wee, I've got my wee hip flask here, I'm going to have a wee cognac.
Pardon, mate, I'll take the wheel.
Oh. Listen, I'm glad I brought my N64 backstage tonight. That was good. It was a good wee night playing a wee bit of Brave Spirits, wasn't it? On the N64, man. You put a Jushin Liger. You're not really into the computer games, man, you know.
Well, I downloaded one of the things off internet. The kids on, you've got a Nintendo in your house. You don't actually have it physically in your house, you download
an emulator. An emulator, man. Ugh, man, that's not the same.
Is it not?
Nah, it's not the same, man.
You can't have us raised a Catholic, didn't you?
Again, just to reiterate, this isn't this isn't a Grado's story, obviously.
And
you were raised a Catholic, mate.
Aye, mate.
Well, yeah, good on you, mate. So was I.
I'm not going to take a bit of time that.
I hope you're going to say primary three here or something.
I wasn't before. I've been primary three, to be honest with you, because it was not long before my sister was to get married. And my granny told me that I should probably go to confession before the wedding.
Oh, aye.
So I could get communion and all that chance. So, it'd be quite a while, actually, before I had done confession. So, I blagged my wife through it. All the way up until the priest asked me to say a prayer called the Act of Contrition. Well, my mind went blank. I'm telling you, I was desperately trying to remember how it went, so I just started saying what I thought it was. So I'm saying this whole prayer, the priest staring at me in the eye, and I wasn't even sure if it was the right prayer. So after I finished blabbing this prayer out, I looked up, hopefully, and I says, was that the right prayer, Father? Yes, that was the right one. So Rabbi raised his horn in front of my head. I was buzzing, right? I got the prayer right. And I've not made an arse of myself. So I proceeded to make an arse of myself. So the priest raises his horn to bless me and absolve me of my sins. It's quite a formal affair, you know that. But for some reason, I thought he was trying to high-five me for getting the prayer right. So I gave my big bro handshake, thinking this priest was cool as fuck. He just looked at me. I realised my error in judgment and I awkwardly released his hand and left. And that story comes from Lawrence Simon.
I like that, mate.
Simone. I would imagine it's Simon or Simone. That's me reckoning. Thing, man. Simone.
That's beautiful, isn't it? That's beautiful. If you have a wrestling Daft Road story, it doesn't have to be anything to do with wrestling, just a funny story about...
That was nice.
It was.
A bit of bants with the priest, you know. That
high-five in the priest, not that girl.
It was nae... Do you know what I mean? It was nae dirtiness. It was nice.
It was nice, wasn't it?
Oh
my god,
it's nice now. It's getting too nice now.
No, it's not too nice, John. It's nice. Drop us a DM on Twitter, Wrestling Daft, on the Facebook page. Just let us know your stories. We want to tell your stories. Well, that's it. For Wrestling Daft, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple or get us in wherever you get your podcasts. No, Grado, what's coming up for you this week? Well, we need to choose a listener of the week, by the way.
Oh, we really do, don't we? I would say listener of the week this week goes to...
You liked Paddy with the Penny Sweeties and the Steve Blackman.
Aye, man. Do you still send them the virtual belt? Have you jacked that, John?
I've jacked that. I should really start doing that again. They used to get the virtual belt when I had time to do sort of shit like that. But do you know what? I'll bring back the virtual belt. So, Paddy, you tweet us a picture of yourself looking good. I'll put the virtual belt on you and you can use it as your avatar.
There you go, folks.
Fantastic. What have you got coming up, Grado? What's happening this week?
Selling a dog on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Fat Man Sunday. Well, it's my fearless puppies, isn't it? I'm kind of involved in this one. What else am I doing? Hee-haw, damn all, Rab. What about yourself, son?
Well, I've just got a wee bit of work I've got to get done. In fact, I'm just starting it the new. I hope you guys don't mind. It's just a wee bit of promotional work, I'm sure. You know, we're all friends on this show. I'm sure you don't mind this. I want to tell everybody out there about, you know, it's been a hard time where wrestling rings have been shuttled to the fans and we've not been able to see it live, and it's been very difficult, right? However, I want to tell you about something that is upcoming now that things are opening back up. It is time for Return of the Ring. Pro Championship Wrestling Return of the Ring is coming later this year. Pro 2 is looking at the end of this year to run our first show, Return of the Ring, where we have an 8-man tournament to crown the first ever champion. Lots of heavy hitters involved, folks.
Sounds like you're getting there.
Event: Jason Hyde, Bobby Roberts, Stone Malone, Krieger, TJ Rage, Dean Allmark, Tyson Taylor, Adam Shame is going to be there. Adam Shame. And we can reveal this exclusively on Wrestling Daft. Adam Shame is Pro 2. So I want to just tell you, Pro 2 Championship Wrestling, I'm very happy to announce to all of you that I am the new commissioner of Pro 2 Wrestling. Pro 2 Championship Wrestling, I will be in attendance at Return of the Ring as commissioner, and I will make sure the no funny business goes down. It's time to get back in the ring, folks. Gredo, will you be in attendance?
I'm bitter. Listen to that. We'll find out next week.
Find out next week. Gredo, up the road now.
It's yourself. Hear you up the road. Audio Frontier.